Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for all that you do in our lives and all that you continue to lead us to do. And ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, Lord, that your still small voice, that the Holy Spirit in us would speak to our hearts and minds. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you take out your sheet, on one side are some sermon notes, fill in the blanks. There's areas where you can write anything that God is speaking to you about during this service. I'm not inclined to believe that God only speaks through His Word or through me, but through the music and through all that happens. On the other side are some weekly devotions. I encourage you to take this home and use these weekly devotions throughout the week. And if you're listening online, there is a downloadable PDF with both of those things on it. Now, we're in the midst of a series called Live Life. Live Life. And with Jesus' resurrection, He took the next step in setting all people free from sin and death. And the question I posed on Easter was this: what is your next step with God in your life? What is your next step with God in your life? And I hope you had an opportunity to take some notes on what God was asking you to do as a next step. And then last week, we took a look at a perspective that people who really live life, or people who really seem to live life in light of eternity. They have eternity in mind. And realize that too many people, Christians too, oftentimes live life without hope. But as Christians, we do, which allows us maybe to not get so hung up in this world, live life in light of eternity, and it allows us to really blossom in this world. And others look at us and they say, what is it that you have that I don't have? That was a question I asked somebody at one point in my life, and of course the difference was their relationship with Jesus. Now, I remember when I began to more closely follow Jesus, it was a time of great excitement for me. I did ask somebody, what is it that you have that I don't have? And they were going through a really difficult moment in their life. And I thought, well, man, why do they have the joy in the midst of this difficult time? And I'm doing fine, but I don't have that joy. I did some other things as I began to seek God. I went out and got myself a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It's a big Bible, and it's got notes, and it's got a reference section in back, an archaeological section in back. It was a powerful Bible. I read about how Jesus, how God in the flesh, came down and showed me how to live life faithfully. It was God's love story to me about all of His love, His mercy and His grace to me. And sometimes I would learn things through His teachings. And sometimes I would learn things through God's commandments. And other times simply through how Jesus lived or how other faithful believers lived, I would learn. And what really helped me to take that next step for me was to begin attending studies outside of Sunday morning worship service to learn what I could from others who had been faithful to live their lives for God. These people who I saw had a glow about them, maybe, or something that I didn't have. And these people taught me things that I didn't know, how to love God and how to return to God the blessings that God sought to give to me. In that time, I really began to learn how to live life. To truly live life is to live faithfully with God. To live faithfully with God. And we have to note that it is to be devoted to God by ordering our lives with how God desires us to live. And then what seems to be, we note, our greatest challenge, a great challenge for many Christians when it comes to living faithfully with God, is our generosity. It has to do with our generosity to God, and really to others also. And what happens when we are generous to others, it takes the focus off of ourselves and places it to other places, like to God or to others. And in a real way, we begin to experience the blessings of giving to God and others, which then begins to set us free from people who want to hoard all we have. It is a part of our makeup that God created in us to want to give to others, to be generous. It is the way that God designed us to be and designed us to become. Now, there are two voices which seeks to keep us from living faithfully with God, to keep us from being a generous people. And the first that we note is the voice of fear. The voice of fear. It is the voice asking, what will happen if you give your money, your things, your time away to others? It is the fear of having nothing that causes people to begin to hoard all they have, keeping things that will never serve them again. I mean, how many people have something down in their basement that they haven't seen, let alone used in the last year or 5 years? 5 years, give me 10, yeah? It's this voice which tries to keep us from understanding that our true source of joy, our true source of security for all of life comes from God, who supplies everything in our time. Material things truly cannot give us that kind of security. And it is the voice of fear that keeps us from being generous with others, from being generous with God. The second voice that keeps us from being generous is the voice of self-gratification. Self-gratification. Our memory verse a long time ago, a memory verse says that one's life does not consist of the abundance of possessions or pleasurable experiences. If we give away, Scripture says, if we give away, the voice inside of us says, there won't be enough left for me. And so there's that sense of self-gratification that we seek to fulfill in this life. Society really pushes that on us, right? Be all you can be, or have it your way, right? McDonald's, thank you very much. But when we give our lives to Jesus as Savior and Lord, when we invite the Holy Spirit to give us direction, we begin to change from the inside to the out. We find fear begins to lose its grip on us, and we begin to experience true freedom and true joy in living not only simply, but living generously. We find joy in changing from seeking personal pleasure to pleasing God. And we note that what helps us to defeat these voices is the shift in our thinking from pleasing ourselves to pleasing God. From caring only for ourselves to caring for others. I remember when I finished grocery shopping one night. I was living in an apartment. I wasn't married at that point in time. And yet I had begun my relationship with Jesus, or renewed that relationship with Jesus. And I was a huge fan of, now I lived simply, peanut butter and jelly for lunch. Peanut butter and jelly for lunch. And I had gotten my groceries, and as I was putting my groceries away in the car, and it was at night, a guy came up to me. And he said, I'm hungry. I don't have any money. I don't have any food. And it was one of those moments where, you know, I just bought this for me. And I reached in and I gave him my loaf of bread, and I gave him a new jar of peanut butter that I had just bought. And I gave it to him and I said, here. Now, I knew I didn't want to give him money because I didn't know what he would spend money on. But I gave him what I had. And I felt really good about it. I didn't go back in and buy another one. I just went home. I wasn't wealthy by any means at that point in time, but I had more than this other guy had in his life. The voices of fear and of self-gratification we might find will never go away. We will wrestle with them from time to time, but after a while they will become a little bit more silent as we grow in Christ. You see, as we grow in Christ, we realize that our lives are not our own, but they're a gift from God. We realize that our lives belong to Him, and we end up becoming more generous. Now, There are biblical reasons how generosity is being faithful with God. That when we are faithful with God, we will become more generous people. Paul states in Acts 20, I think I need an assist, Joe. If you can go to the next screen, just hit the space bar. Read it with me. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. To live faithfully with God includes helping others. And we note that we are blessed when we not take, but when we give. And in it we find joy. That's what Paul is talking about, finding joy. We must help the weak. We must help the poor. And the reason why, it's more blessed to give than receive. And then next one, Jesus states to his followers in Matthew 16:25, read it with me, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. It goes on to say, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their own soul? Who's the guy who's the richest guy in the world now? He's the CEO of Amazon. Yeah, he's got it all. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? I don't know if they're Christian or not, but it's that concept. We can gain, gain, gain. And he goes on to say, or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his Father's glory and his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. We talked about this last week. We'll get what is due us at the judgment seat. Here he says, we'll reward each person according to what they have done. And we note that we find life when we're willing to give others, give our lives away. We find life when we're willing to give our lives away. And then the third point is, or the third scripture we note is, life is a gift. And everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. In Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Life is a gift. Everything belongs to God, which means you belong to God. God is very gracious to us in giving us not only this world to live in and to live on, but all of the beauty to enjoy. All that we have belongs to God. All that we own belongs to God. Jesus reminds us that this life is only temporary. Temporary. What are we willing to do or not do so that we do not get so, what are we willing to do or not do so that we don't get so entangled in this world that we forget to look at God's beauty, to remember that all we have is God's, including ourselves. Life is indeed a gift. We are blessed by God to be a blessing to others. It's a gift that God gives through us to others. Now, from the early days of the Bible, the Old Testament, God's people observed the practice of giving some portion of the best of what they had to God. A gift offered to God was what was called oftentimes the first fruits or tithe, and it was equal to one-tenth of one's flocks or equal to one's income. One-tenth. We go back to Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, who gave an offering, the first fruits of their flock or their plantings. Abraham in Genesis 14 was the first to give a tenth to the priest of the Most High God, whose name was Melchizedek. Jacob, Abraham's grandson who had encountered God, promised to give God back one-tenth of everything he received from God. And this very last law written in the book of Leviticus says that a tithe a tenth shall be given back to God for the work of the temple. And we note that God asks us for a tithe. Now, indeed, these are Old Testament laws, or fall under the old covenant of God, and we live under the new covenant with Jesus today. Yet, most Christians believe that these precepts from the old covenant are still a guide for us today. If you aren't a Christian, you're not required to give a tenth to God. And a tithe is one of those things that Christians says is a good guideline for us today. That giving our first fruits back to God is still pleasing to God and a sign of us living faithfully with God. Now, David Schlegel, pastor from Atlanta, he gave this demonstration once, and I just think it's the greatest demonstration in regard to understanding a tenth. And God gives us all of this fruit in which we can live, and so he gives us fruit for our families so that we can feed and clothe our families, so that we can provide food and shelter and clothing, and, you know, we need something for retirement, right? And then we need something for taxes. Well, but retirement, right? Retirement, and God has given us stuff that we need so that we can give it away to the poor, help our friends, help our family, and, you know, going on vacations and having some fun opportunities with others and family, and all of these things that God gives us, he gives us so that we might enjoy life. God looks down as we live life, and he wants us to enjoy. He receives pleasure when we live life to the full. And yet, one God says is for me. One tenth of all the fruit that I have given you is used to give back to me. It's used to express your obedience to me, your love to me, your worship of me is to give God a fruit or a tenth of our fruit. Now, society is really pressing on us today with this idea of, like I said, you deserve a break today, so get up and get away. You deserve it your way. And so society presses on us to say that nine is not enough. And even if you're not a Christian, the principle is that we live a better life when we give away to others. But we think nine is not enough. And, well, you know, there was that special trip that I really wanted to take, and I didn't set aside money for that trip. But, you know, here's something that I could... Mm. Oh, that's nice. You know, I didn't set aside anything for Christmas. And Christmas is giving to others, right? Being generous, giving gifts to others. And so we take a little more away. Retirement's coming, or you're already retired. Didn't put enough in retirement. Emergencies, the cost of medical. It's so expensive today. Didn't put anything aside. I love the look of that car. I do need a new car. Oh, and how about that big screen TV for the Super Bowl? Gotta get that. I'm no longer satisfied with my house that I live in. I need something bigger, grander, or a second home. And all of a sudden, all we have left for the Lord as an offering is a core. Even though giving a tithe to God's temple at first can be a struggle, It is something that can be achieved by everyone. Even if you can't do it right away, take a step that will get you moving in the right direction, and then add on to it as you can. We've sent through your giving statements and in the newsletter a tithing chart for you to look at, to glance at least once a year, to renew or to review how you are giving to God, and to renew your gifts to God. God understands where you are at today. And God will help you to make any adjustments necessary in your life for you to become more and more generous to God. Now, one of the aspects of tithing or giving a tenth to God, we note, is that a tenth is the floor, not the ceiling. That God requires or desires that we give a tenth, but that's not the ceiling of what we give. The offering after the tithe, so when we will in a moment have time to give our tithes and offerings. An offering is what you give above and beyond. Offerings go to missions projects or church building funds, or offerings go through our church to other nonprofit organizations, some which we support here, and even to the victims of natural disasters. We've taken offerings for natural disasters where we give it to UMCOR, our United Methodist Committee on Relief, and 100% of what we give, that offering, goes to help others. Your giving of seat covers and feet covers at our last Fifth Sunday potluck and hymn sing was an offering to God, something above and beyond what we give to God. And from the earliest biblical times, the main way people worshiped God was through an offering, the fruit of their labor, and they gave that back to God. They placed it on God's offering. It's how they expressed appreciation to God, their love for God, their gratitude for the one who supplied all their needs. Their giving and our giving expresses love to God. It expresses love to God. One of the primary reasons we were created was to love God in return, to be loved by God. When God sees that people are giving gifts that express love, faith, and the desire to please and honor God, it moves God's heart. It moves God's heart. In our scripture this morning from Matthew, Jesus tells the parable of the talents. The master gave money to three servants who went away for a time. Two used the money to create more for the master. The third buried his money until the master came back because he knew the master was a hard man. The two were rewarded for being faithful with the master who had given them some and used it for the master. They were considered good and faithful servants. But the servant who did nothing with the money was considered worthless and thrown outside of the master's home. The one who hoarded, who did nothing with what God had given them, was thrown outside of the master's home. It is clear how we give back to God impacts God. How we give back to God impacts God, and it impacts us as well. Don't you want to hear good and faithful servant? I know I do. In living faithfully with God, we also begin to see that our hearts are changed. Our hearts are changed, and we note we begin to see money as simply an avenue to do God's work. We begin to see money as simply an avenue to do God's work while we're here on earth, not just for our pleasure. And God challenges us in our giving. In Malachi 3:10, God challenges us to be generous and to allow God to supply your every need. Read that scripture with me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God challenges us, or says, challenge me in this. To bring the tithe into the storehouse, and I will fly open. I will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to store it. The amazing thing is that when we give to God, it impacts God and what God does for us. I don't want to say that God doesn't continue to pour out His grace. That would be foolish. Because God's not like us. But what we do impacts what God does. And when we give to God and to others, not just through our tithe and our offerings, but our time. Yesterday we spent time and our abilities sprucing up the church for the spring and summer months. But when we use our time and our abilities, the blessings just seem to come back to us. Of course, there are no guarantees that if you tithe, you will never lose your job or you will never have another bad day or have bad things happen to you. But nevertheless, when we give generously, when we live our lives faithfully with God, the unmistakable blessings of God will flow back into our lives. As you tithe, give offerings, it allows God and us to draw closer together. Closer to God, which is what our chief goal should be in this life. We should make sure that we get rid of all of those things which keep us from God. You have an opportunity to live faithfully with God, which in turn gives God an opportunity to bless you more. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for Your love and grace in our lives and ask in Jesus' name that You would draw us closer to Yourself, that You would help us to see Your continued love and faithfulness to us, and that You would give us the ability to be loving and faithful back to You, that You might be glorified, that others might see and ask, what is it about You that is different? In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.